Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to our service this morning. It's good to see everybody here today. Welcome those that's tuned in by radio and Facebook as well. Glad to see everybody here today. We're going to ask that you join in with us and stand as we open our service with the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. You join in with us, please. Can take everything to God in prayer. Again, it's good to see everyone. If we have any visitors today, welcome to our service. Greet each other before we have a seat this morning. Glad to see everybody.
The Bible tells us that the Spirit of God fills our life, and He fills our heart with a melody of song in our heart that He gives us. I don't have much rhythm, and I don't have much harmony, but I do have a melody in my heart, so it's that's a good thing, okay? But we do welcome you today. I'll be preaching today from Philippians chapter 4. So you can be ready for that. Radio listeners and Facebook watchers, we invite you to find your Bible and join with us today. And we'll be going to Philippians chapter 4. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for the day. This is the day that you've made. We're to rejoice and we are glad in it. We thank you for this day of worship. And I pray today that we would honor you in all that we do here today. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. We're going to continue with our singing this morning, two hymns, I Am Resolved and In the Garden. You join in with us.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Calling. and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Thank you. Great hymns of our relationship with him and walking with God. We'll ask the praise team to come forward now. We'll sing two songs. We'll ask for your help. One we introduced a few weeks ago, Yes, I Will. And then as we think about prayer this morning, I Must Tell Jesus. We'll be singing after that. So if you could stand and join in with us on the first one, let's praise him together.
I count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Yes, I will. The same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Yes, I will for all my days. Yes, I will. I choose to pray. Glorify the name of all names, that nothing can stand against. I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names, that nothing can stand against. I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. Nothing can stand against. I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. That nothing can stand against. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Yes, I will for all my days. Yes, I will for all my days. Yes, I
Thank you. You may be seated. For all of our days, we need to praise him. You know this hymn. Just join in with us. Even though you had a seat, please join in with us as we sing. I Must Tell Jesus.
Jesus, all of my trials, I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver, make of my troubles quickly an end. I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me. Over the world, the victory to win.
I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me. Jesus alone, Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
Heavenly Father, we're thankful that You are the only one in our time of need that can help us. We thank You that we can come to You and have confidence that You hear our prayers. Lord, we thank You that we have an opportunity to sing Your praises this morning. We pray that You would open our hearts. May we receive Your word and may it make a difference in our life. Thank You for this opportunity to be together. We ask this in Your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, worship team and congregation, for your singing today. Philippians chapter 4. If anybody had an excuse to worry, it would have been the Apostle Paul. However, that's not what he did. What he does in Philippians 4 is to give us three ways that we can have victory over worry. One is the right kind of praying. The second is the right kind of thinking. And the third is the right kind of living. So he lays that out in Philippians chapter 4. Now, I'm told by the people who do the research on all this and all the posters and everybody that Philippians chapter 4 is the go-to chapter for Americans when they have concern, worry, and problems. And so this is where we're looking today. We're looking at that chapter that a lot of people go to when they want to find victory over worry. Now, we're going to take the first step today, and what I'm going to focus on today is prayer. That is the first step. I'm beginning a new series today on Worry Less and Live More. And so the first step, though, in getting there is the practice of prayer. And so that's what we'll be talking about this morning. See, the practice of prayer is really the better life to live. It's better than a life of worry. And so we'll be preaching about that today. In 1901, September 14, 1901, William McKinley was president of the United States. He was the 25th president of the United States. And he made a trip to Buffalo, New York. While he was there, he was shot and killed by an assassin. Historians tell us, and what history tells us, as he lay dying, the Lord's Prayer was on his lips. He was 58 years old when he was killed. When he was 14 years old, he became born again. He was raised in a devout Methodist home. And at age 14, he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. All through his career and all through his political career, prayer had been a very important part of his life. According to his pastor, McKinley stood up at a youth meeting when he was saved. And here's what he said at 14. I have sinned. I want to be a Christian. I give myself to the Savior who has done so much for me. One of his heaviest decisions that he had to make while he was president came after the Spanish-American War. And it was what to do with the Philippines, whether or not to annex them or what America was going to do with the Philippines. And it caused him great concern because he really didn't want the Philippines. He didn't want to deal with that situation. So there were a group of pastors who came to the White House on a certain day. And he expressed to them his concern. And he asked them to pray. And so they prayed about what he needed to do about the Philippines. Night after night, he was just restless. And he said he would walk the floors of the White House because he really didn't know what to do. And he said one night in prayer, while he was praying, that a strategy came to his mind as what to do with the Philippines. And here was his decision. His decision was that America would take the Philippines. But here's what he said that helped him make that decision. He said it came to him in his mind, by God's grace, do the very best we could by them as our fellow men for whom Christ died. And he said he made that decision and he went to bed and he slept. And he never worried about that decision again. You see, what this slice of presidential historia teaches us is this. It teaches us what to do when we don't know what to do. It teaches us, just like him, he didn't know what to do with the Philippines. But he found the answer through prayer. And so as we go through those situations in life where we don't know what to do and we're troubled and we're walking the floor at night and we have worry and concern, then the first step is prayer. That's how we get to wisdom. That's how we get to guidance. And as Philippians tells us, that's how we get to peace. So listen to the verses in Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, what the Apostle Paul did in these two verses is to condense two great chapters in the Bible concerning worry and what we're to do. One chapter is taken from the Old Testament, and this is a great chapter. If you're struggling with worry like I do, Psalm 37. I mean, that's a great chapter to go to. And then, of course, in the New Testament, we think about the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, and the Lord's teaching about what we're to do with worry. And so those two chapters are condensed in what Paul is saying to us in these verses that I've read. Now, as we think about the practice of prayer, what I want us to consider this morning are three phases that's found in these verses. So we'll look at these phrases, and then I'll give you some guidelines on the practice of prayer. The first phrase that we want to talk about is, don't be anxious about anything, or be anxious for nothing. This verse is not a suggestion, it's not a recommendation, but it is a command. This is a command in the Bible that we find. The Greek word for anxious or worry means to be pulled apart. One way to think about it is that we're pulled apart in our thinking, in our mind, and we're pulled apart in our heart, in our feelings. And so that's why in this chapter, Paul deals with all three. He deals with our prayer, he deals with our mind, and he deals with our heart. Through prayer, we have the right kind of thinking. Through prayer, we have the right kind of feeling when it comes to worry. So that's where he goes to with these verses that I'm going to talk about this morning. I read one commentary that put it this way, and I thought this is a great statement, because what he did was to take that word nothing and he made this statement from the Bible using the word nothing. And he said it this way, nothing should agitate us because nothing can separate us from the love of God. That's Romans 8. Whom nothing is impossible. That's Matthew's gospel. So I thought that was a good statement. Nothing should agitate. Nothing can separate us from love, from God's love, and nothing is impossible with God. So the implication, though, in this verse, or in these verses that we're looking at here, is that the Christians here at Philippi were worried. They were anxious in their heart and their mind. What were they worried about? Well, they were worried about Paul, because Paul was in prison. And they were worried about his well-being. They were worried about persecution that was coming against the church. But they were also concerned about something that we need to be concerned about. They were concerned about the survival of Christianity in Rome. Because what Rome wanted to do was to shut down Christianity. And folks, we're headed for that day here in America. And they were concerned about that. Would Christianity survive against the persecution? Would Christianity survive in the climate and culture that they lived in? And so they had a lot to be concerned about. So what they had to do, though, we find here what they had to do, and what Paul tells them to do, is that you've got to make a serious commitment to prayer. You've really got to pray. And so in prayer, what we do, we really transfer our problems to the Lord. And He transfers His peace to us. And that's what Philippians is telling us here. Now see, our refusal to worry doesn't mean that we're not concerned. Nor does it make us passive about circumstances that we face in life. It doesn't do that. But concern is appropriate, and I think that we need to have a proper concern about situations. You see, there's a fine line between worry and concern. And I wanted to find out what that fine line was. I knew that fine line was there, but I really didn't know how to express it. So here's what I found. The fine line between worry and concern is this. When our concern is healthy in nature, it doesn't debilitate us. It doesn't, put us down. Worry is something that really makes us unhealthy. It really works on our bodies. It works on our emotions. It works on our mind and how we think. And so it really can, do a lot of damage to us. And so that really is one way to understand this fine line. You don't have to give testimony of this, but I've been told by a certain person through the years. You're going to worry yourself to death. Have you ever been told that? And I've been told that time too. And so that's really a good statement. Now, what we're to do, though, is to pray. And when we pray, that's how we open the door to the peace of God in our mind and the peace of God in our feelings about how we're feeling about things. There's a second phrase here that he uses. He says, but in everything or in every situation. You see, things were happening to Paul that were outside his control. Now, God was in control, but these things that happened were out of his control. Paul talked about things that had happened to him, that might happen to him. He talked about circumstances and situations that had come into his life. Now, I'm going to give you these, and this listener, you might want to jot this down. But in verse 12 of chapter 1, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me. So he's talking about things that's happened to him. Verse 19, here again in chapter 1, here again he talked about what has happened to me. In chapter 1, verse 27, he told them, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. So that is what might happen. Verse 23 of chapter 2, he said, I will send Timothy to them as soon as I see how things go. So look what Paul is talking about here. This is the great apostle Paul. And then in chapter 4 and verse 6, he used the phrase, in every situation. That's what we're talking about here. In chapter 4, verse 11, he talked about the ability to remain composed. He said, whatever circumstances I find myself in, he says, I have learned to be content. So that's what might happen in the future. And then in verse 12, he said, I have learned to be content in every situation that comes my way. So in all situations, in everything that comes our way, the first step is prayer. And we're to pray about everything in all situations. So rather than worrying about him, he learned that he could bring his concerns to the Lord and leave those concerns with him, every one of them. Sometimes we have to learn things on the fly as we go along. And I think the practice of prayer is one of those things that really we have to learn as we go along. Now, we believe in it, and we talk about prayer, but, you know, making prayer a practice is something that really we learn. Not long ago in New Zealand, there's a pilot by the name of Owen B. Wilson. And he wanted to take his buddy, Grant Stubbs, he wanted to do something special for Grant on his birthday. So he decided he'd take him up for a plane ride. But it was in one of these micro-type planes, you know, lightweight planes. It was a kind of a two-seater. And so they got up and, you know, everything was going okay, and all of a sudden the engine died. Well, both these guys, you know, they started praying. Lord, help us. Save us. We need help. And they made it over the mountain, and between two ridges, there was just a flat piece of land. And they'd been praying, God, show us a place that we can land. And so between these two ridges, they found this place where Owen could land the plane, and he did. And they were all happy and rejoicing and, you know, thank you, Lord, for answering prayers. They looked up, and at the end of this flat piece of land was a 20-foot billboard sign that said, Jesus is Lord. The owners of the property came out to greet them, and what they'd found out was where they had landed that plane was owned by a Christian resort. And it was a place, you know, where people would go and have these retreats and everything. And as they began talking, they said, you know, usually the livestock's out here grazing, but all the livestock was lined up along the runway so they could land that plane. We're talking about answers to prayer. We're talking about what God can do when we pray and we call out to Him. You see, many times, like Owen and Grant, we fly in those situations where there's really no hope, and we think, how are we going to make it? And how is God going to answer this prayer? But God does, because God is in control. And as we've been saying, in His time, in His way, in His will, God will answer our prayer. He will make a way. There's a third phrase that He used here. He said, by prayer and supplication, or by prayer and petition, present your request to God. Now, He uses the word prayer and supplication, or prayer and petition. Prayer is a general word that we use to communicate with God. Prayer is another way to think about prayer, as it's used there, is adoration. We're not really asking God anything, or we're really not talking about a problem or circumstance. But adoration in prayer is when we just worship Him. I mean, we just begin in prayer to worship Him. And so that's how the word is used in the Bible. Then the word supplication or petition, that's more specific. And what it is it's when we bring a problem and we bring a situation to God and we're asking God to do something. And we're asking God for help. And so that's what Paul says. You know, he says, we do that, but we do it with thanksgiving. And so that's where it all comes together. We're grateful to God for all that He is and all that He does and all that He has done for us in our life. And then he says, what he says is, you present this to the Lord. See, what's indicated there in presenting your request to God is intensity. I mean, there's stuff going on here. And there's situations here that have caused a lot of anxiety and worry and concern among these people. So in an intense way, he says, you present your requests to God. Now, a prayer method that I use that I want to share with you now might be helpful to you, or maybe you do it. But what I do many times when I'm praying in these situations, I pray that God will bring stability to the situation because it's out of my control. And I'm not at the place, and I'm not mature enough yet in my life to where I don't worry, because I do. I still have a problem with worry. And I want to get beyond it, and I'm still working on it, but I'm not there yet. I'm just like these folks here at the Church of Philippi. I mean, they hadn't reached that place of maturity because they're worried. They're anxious, and they have great reason to be. But one of the practices, or one of the methods that I've found in my prayer time, is that I ask God to bring stability to the situation. And usually what I do, I set up my desk with my eyes open, and I go to the Bible, and I try to find certain verses that speak to my heart. If I can't find any, I use the phrase that I've used over and over again, Lord, your will be done. Lord, your will be done. And that's a phrase that I'll use over and over again. You may have a different phrase that speaks to your heart. And I just pray that, and I have the Bible open, and I'll be going through here, and I'll be thinking about other phrases that I can do. But not only do I ask God to bring stability to the situation, but I say, God, bring stability to my own heart. Bring stability to my own mind. Help me to think the right way and feel the right way about this thing. And see, that's prayer. The first step of getting wisdom, guidance, and peace and stability in a situation and peace in a situation is prayer. And that's what he's saying here. In verse 7, he says this, "The peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." So prayer is that guard for our minds and guard for our hearts, what we think, what we feel. You know, the interesting thing about this, when Paul wrote this, he was chained to a Roman guard. Paul was in prison, not the best of circumstances to be. And so he says, prayer will be that guard in your mind and in your feelings. What you think, how you feel, how you live. And so it's through prayer. You see, we can trust God because God is good. We can trust in His wisdom. We can trust in His power. We can trust in His goodness. And so, see, prayer brings release from the worry and the anxiety. We just release it to God. Now, I want you to think about prayer in three different ways. Number one is this, and then I'll be quick with this. Everyday prayer. Everyday prayer is, you know, a great example of this would be like Daniel. The Bible tells us morning, noon, and night. What did Daniel do? Daniel prayed. So when Daniel got in the lion's den, you know, prayer was just a common practice for him. So when he was in the den of lions, you know, he just prayed. But there are those daily prayers that we pray. And then there's what's called the D-Day prayers. Now, the D-Day prayers, of course, that has a military connotation to it in the history of America. But those are prayers in crises. Those are prayers when, you know, really, I mean, we're really up against something. But the night of the D-Day invasion, Franklin Roosevelt went on radio to address our nation. And he gave a very moving speech, and here's what he said. He said, "My fellow Americans, last night when I spoke to you about the fall of Rome, I knew that at that moment the troops of the United States and our allies were crossing the channel in another great operation. It has come to pass with success thus far, and so in this hour," listen to this, "I asked you to join me in prayer. Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. Lead them straight and true. Give strength to their arms, stoutness to their hearts, steadfastness in their faith. They will need thy blessings." His speech was nothing more than a prayer. But that was the greatest need of our nation at that time. Not a fancy speech, not great oratory, but prayer. We're talking about a D-Day prayer. We're talking about that prayer of crises. We're talking about that prayer that brings us to that point, you know, of really being broken on our knees before God. There was a lady in the Old Testament by the name of Hannah. And in 1 Samuel chapter 1, Hannah had a family problem that caused her a lot of grief and heartache. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 1 that people saw her go to the tabernacle and go inside and pray. She went to church to pray about this family problem that she had. And the Bible tells us that they saw her lips move, but no words were coming out of her mouth. Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? And so when Hannah came out of the tabernacle, out of church, she seemed to have a different attitude, different expression. And they said, we saw you in there praying, but no words came out. She said, I just gave my burden to the Lord. And I turned my burden over to Him. And I know that God's going to answer my prayer. And so it made a difference in her life. You see, the real challenge of the Christian life is not to eliminate every unpleasant circumstance. It is to trust in the good purpose of God in every circumstance that comes our way. That's where the challenge is. Then in times of great crises, we must learn to pray. There's a third way to pray, and that is through the day prayers. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. That's just, you know, we go through the day with a, you know, just with a prayer on our mind. Nehemiah 2 went to stand before the king. And the king says, what do you want? And the Bible says that before Nehemiah spoke to the earthly king, he spoke to the heavenly king. And he prayed. And he just prayed, you know, God, give me the words to say to the king. That's kind of, you know, just through the day prayer. We come up against a situation, Lord, just, you know, what do I need to do? What do I need to say? Give me your thoughts. Give me your direction in this situation. I was reading a book this week about the Gulf War. It was talking about the commandant of the U.S. Marines during the Gulf War. And this general was a devout Christian man. At 7:15 every morning, he would gather his officers together and they would have prayer. He would always station his troops in the desert at a place that had water. They were in a situation here to where they had been sent to a location with all these troops right before the invasion, and they couldn't find water. And so they'd been praying about that every day at 7:15. We need water. As they were praying on this day, one of his field officers came in and said, General, I hate to interrupt you, but this is important. They got in a jeep. They drove down the road. This is a road that the Marines had built. The road had been built for a while. They'd gone by this location many times. They looked over to the left, and there was a giant pipe coming out of the ground. They went over. The officer took the general over. There was a generator there and a pump there. Now think about this. This is something that they'd done day after day, but nobody ever seen it. The general was going to start this diesel generator so it would pump the water out of the ground. But they couldn't find the key. And so the general said this. He said, God hasn't led us here to, you know, for a key stopping us. So he pushed the button and the water started flowing. And it provided over 100,000 gallons of water a day. When the general got back to Washington after the Gulf War in Washington, D.C., he was making an address and he said this. He said, the result of finding that water was because American men and women were back home praying for us. The first step to guidance, to wisdom, to peace is prayer. Paul had every excuse in the world to worry. But he says the key to victory over worry is the right praying, the right thinking, and the right living. Paul says we pray about everything. Paul says we bring our request to God. I mean, that's what we do. And we trust Him. When you come to Christ as your Savior for salvation, and you give Christ your heart, then you have peace with God. As we live day after day for Him through prayer, then we can gain what the Bible calls the peace of God in our hearts. And so that's why Paul said here in this verse, verse 7, that the peace which surpasses all understanding, doesn't make sense, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Prayer is the pathway to peace. Prayer is the first step to victory over worry. Let's stand for our prayer. Father, I thank you today for your word. I thank you for this great chapter that we have in the Bible. We thank you for the privilege of prayer, and we know what prayer does. We know that prayer opens the door to heaven. We know it's through prayer that we release our worry and concern to you. Father, we want to do that today. Lord, I pray for that person today that's never taken that step to give their heart to you. That person who's never made peace with you. I pray that they would take that step today to receive you as Savior, to ask you to come into their life. Lord, I pray that as believers, that we would know the peace of God in our lives. That we would bring our worries to you, our concerns to you, our problems to you. And Lord, just ask you to help us with those situations. And Lord, we know that you will help us. And we know that you'll send your peace. You will help us with how we think and how we feel. And Lord, that's where we want to be. We know that there's no human solution to worry. There isn't. But we know that there are keys to victory when we follow the principles of the Bible. But it all begins with you. It all begins with Christ and relationship with Him. It all begins with the power of God, because we can't conquer this in human power and human effort. That's not how we get there. And so, Lord, today we trust you. We open our hearts to you. And we bring our concerns to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing together, please.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back.
Well, thank you for being here today, and thank you for being here in worship with us, and go this week in God's peace and His grace. And just remember, that first step is prayer. Pray about everything, and that's where it begins with us. And that's what we need to practice. The practice of prayer is the key to living a better life. The better life is a life of prayer. And that's how we get there. We want to worry less and live more. So it begins with prayer. Worship team, if you'll come, please, and dismiss us in our closing chorus.
As we close our service this morning, nothing better to sing about than heaven. And as we know that this is not our home here, when we all get to heaven, what a wondrous day that will be. So you join in with us as we close our service this morning.
Love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. To the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Victory. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen. We all get to heaven. Have a great week. Thank you.